Good morning, everybody. Hope you can hear me okay. This is actually quite a challenging book. I would recommend that to anyone to read. 5 weeks ago, I probably wouldn't have said that. when I heard, for example, week one, page 23. What on earth is all this about? Ramen noodle revival. Faith confessions. When the sun goes down. Eventually, parts of the jigsaw puzzle starting to take place. This week, it's actually entitled The Loading Dock. Only I'm not going to be talking about a loading dock. I'm going to be talking about audacious prayer. In chapters 14, 15 and 16, there's a lot contained in those chapters. I'm going to be talking about the message that Stephen Furtick brings in those chapters in the Sun Stand Still series. Audacious prayer. You ever thought about the prayers that you have prayed over the years? Some good ones, some not so good ones. Occasionally, possibly some pretty awful ones that if you think about it now, you might wince about. Not that God actually needs us to be particularly eloquent or profound when we pray. Ever prayed something that was probably rather pointless or even possibly obtuse? I'll give you an example. Please God, just be with me today. God fills the heaven and the earth, and we know as Christians that God actually lives in each and every one of us in the form of his Holy Spirit. Do we need to make sure he's going to be with us? He already is, so why do we ask? Is this prayer a sort of filler, the sort of prayer that we pray because we don't know what to say? We know we need to pray, so we end up praying really without thinking about it. What we really mean is that we want to experience his presence and his power in our lives today and each and every day. So should we not audaciously pray and ask for just that instead? Another example for you. When you're asking for something, God, if it be thy will, grant me, give me, enable me. Again, prayed without really thinking. We don't mean any harm, it probably sounds good. It's even got a little bit of King James, his flair in it, which probably makes it sound a bit more official. But again, what we really mean is, God, I'm asking you to do this, but I'm not really expecting that you will. So just in case you don't, I accept that you probably might not. Not really an audacious prayer, is it? Audacious faith introduces a whole new way to approach our prayer lives, and we can start to turn things around in our prayer life today, right now. And in this book, Stephen Furtick gives us a clear message that we should pray just like a juggernaut. That's the terms that he says. We pray like a juggernaut. Okay, what's a juggernaut? There is actually a dictionary definition. A massive, inexorable, relentless force, often unstoppable. Especially when the brakes don't work. Stephen Furtick's even got his own definition in the book. He says it's a large, overpowering force in motion that crushes whatever is in its path. Praying a sun standstill prayer requires more than the usual general prayers that we may have prayed in the past. It takes us into a new and unfamiliar territory. It isn't like asking God for simple things, like a good parking place at work or in the shops, or good weather for a picnic or even for a walk. A real sun standstill prayer is wrapped with urgency. It's filled with God's possibilities. Praying a sun standstill prayer, like a juggernaut, with massive relentless force, often unstoppable, doesn't get better than that. So how do we pray like that ourselves then? How do we identify a model for such a prayer? Well, there is nothing and no more unstoppable than our man Joshua. Remember right at the beginning of the book, Sun Stand Still, Joshua 10. By the way, you've also noticed I joined the Lego Club as well. Joshua's Sun, stand still prayer shows us a bold way to address God that we can follow ourselves, and it's true of all of the great prayers of the Bible. There are many recorded in Scripture to set us as an example for us to follow and for us to take out of our defensive prayer posture, inspiring us to rise up and begin to pray like juggernauts ourselves. Other examples then. In Exodus 32, Moses. And Moses stood up to God for the Israelites after they worshipped the golden calf and incurred the wrath of God. "Remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob," Moses said, "to whom you swore I shall make your offspring as numerous as the stars in heaven." There was Moses audaciously standing up to God, actually. In Acts, the Apostles, numerous examples of audacious prayer, audacious acts by the Apostles. Classic one here. "Then Peter said, 'Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk.' Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk." That's one of many. There's another one, an example. In Acts 4, "Now, Lord, enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." One more final example in Acts 5. "The apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders among the people. More and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets. Crowds gathered, bringing their sick and those tormented by evil spirits, and all of them were healed." I don't know about mention of pulling rabbits out of hats, but nevertheless, in summary, the apostles asked for and expected miracles. They spoke out boldly in the face of persecution so that the name of Jesus could be lifted on high and glorified. Another example of a model then. Elijah, in 1 Kings 17 and 18, and also mentioned in James 5, 17:18, which is an extract you see in a moment. "Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops." Praying audaciously has been put on the top shelf, out of reach. It's been regarded as not for us. It's beyond us. We can't do that. You've taken what was meant to be ordinary and made it exceptional. James points out that Elijah was a man just like us. We are just like Joshua and Elijah. Both of them had access to an all-powerful God who could make the sun stand still or could stop the rain for 3.5 years. We also have access to an all-powerful God who could make the rain stop, make the sun stand still. So what's the difference? The difference is that Joshua and Elijah had the audacity to pray prayers that lived up to God's character, to God's heart, God's resources, his abilities, and God's will. So that's what it means to pray like a juggernaut, to pray prayers worthy of the God that we are praying to. We are praying to a God whose capabilities will always exceed our audacity. Doesn't matter how audacious we are, he can always exceed our audacity. Prayer is the arena where our faith meets God's abilities. There's never going to be a moment when the audacity of our faith surpasses God's capacity to respond. Is it worthy of our God to simply ask him for a good day? as our main point of conversation with him every morning before breakfast, or after breakfast, whenever we pray to him. Or even to ask him to make our job that bit more tolerable, or simply make our lives more easy. We are called to pray beyond that. Not just pray that God would give us a good day, but to ask him that he would show us his greatness throughout the day. Not just make our jobs more tolerable or our lives easier, but that we'll find a purpose that can drive us to excel in our daily situations. Ultimately, for his glory. It may take some adjustment for us. Before praying extraordinary prayers become the norm for us, it may require some flexing of some praying muscles, probably muscles that we didn't even know that we had. But the Bible leaves us no excuses, no room to manoeuvre. We are strong in the Lord. And it's time to put those muscles that we have to work, to start exercising them, to start using them, to start building our muscles up. It's a simple approach to incubate, to grow an audacious prayer life, to give new life, a new perspective and a different dimension of prayer. In 1 John 5:14 to 15, we are clearly told this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, whatever we know that we have, we've asked of him. Anything according to his will. God wants our agenda to be in line with his agenda. Our audacity must be synchronized with God's purposes. Praying this way reconciles our God-sized dreams biblically and filters our audacity through God's desires, not just our own. Over time, our desires and God's desires will become one and the same. We'll become aligned. Praying with audacity does not mean simply praying the biggest prayer you can think of, especially if it's going to benefit merely you in your life. The Word of God is crucial to audacious faith. It's not possible to separate audacious and effective prayer from the knowledge of the Word of God. It's in the Word that we find God's promises, and it's in the Word that our examples or patterns of thinking are reprogrammed to match God's purposes in our lives and also in the world. Every time you pray to the Father with audacity, have his Word in your heart and mind. As you saw in some of those examples earlier, the models, remind God of what he already knows, or what he's already done previously. For example, Joshua prayed that the sun would stand still because God had promised the Israelites that he would fight for them and he would defeat their enemies. Joshua's bold request was based on two things: the promise that God had made to him, and also Joshua wanted personally to see God's purposes accomplished, to succeed in God's will and plan. Moses found the courage to respond to God's threat to destroy the Israelites. They'd worshipped the golden calf, but Moses pointed out to God that it would defame God's name in Egypt. And also reminded God of a promise that God had made to Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. Moses' desire was to see God's name honoured and his promise fulfilled. This gave Moses the audacity to stand between God and the Israelites. David, in Psalm 68, David spent the first half of Psalm 68 praising God for what he'd done in the past, for his past deeds of deliverance and salvation. And then he asked God to show us your strength, O God, as you have done before. David knew God had delivered the Israelites from enemies in the past and therefore asked God that he'd do it again in the present, the right now. In each of these examples, one of God's servants is reminding God of something that he did in the past or a promise that he'd made. Is there anything wrong with that? No, of course not. Did God forget? Not really. Reminding God of his promises is not about giving him new information. It's about us experiencing excuse me, his transformation. So, coming back to asking anything according to his will. By going back to the word of God and recalling his promises and also the pattern of his actions in the past, our audacity will be triggered, it'll be stirred up. Your desires will become aligned with God's purposes. The promises of God will be woven into the fabric of your faith. Your motivations will become the motivations of God as actually planned all along. Always make sure that your case is built up scripturally. Don't build up a case on what you think you might deserve. For an example, a prayer that may say, Lord, I consider myself a good person. I've worked really hard. I've served you all my life. No one is qualified to come before God. None of us have built up enough credit or goodwill that we've banked that enables us to be in any way entitled to get God to move. True prayers of faith are based in grace, and we should build upon that. The righteousness that's been credited to our account is through the perfect performance of Jesus, nothing that we have done. Sun standstill prayers are not about changing God's mind, they're about changing our hearts, activating our faith, developing our confidence in God's word and God's character. God is interested in every single part of our lives. We don't have to only pray a sun standstill prayer on the front lines of the mission field. We should pray for personal needs and longings, personal hopes and dreams, many that may seem impossible. Broken relationships, provision for financial issues, career development or aspirations, spiritual breakthroughs, physical and emotional healing, loved ones that are far from God, standing strong against temptation, achieving important goals in our lives, finding and embracing purpose. The list is endless. Shouldn't stop us praying some standstill prayers in our own personal lives too. We should delve a little deeper into seemingly impossible personal needs that warrant faith-filled prayer. You may find that your results might not be the same as somebody else with similar issues, because God can deal with our prayers differently depending on our circumstances and what plans he may have for us. Nevertheless, we can still embrace the spirit of faith and pray as such. There's every reason to believe that God can and will work in your life. Pray about your needs according to God's will, with confidence that he cares about all the impossible needs in your life. Pray imaginatively, pray unstoppably. Expect miracles. You need to know also that the greatest sun standstill prayers that God will answer over the course of your life may be the audacious prayers prayed like a juggernaut, but you pray for others. Maybe no one will even know that you prayed. Maybe you will never see the connections between what you've prayed for someone else, and what God actually does in another person's life. Maybe years down the line, much later. But don't underestimate your ability to shake things up through a lifetime of consistent, audacious, juggernaut prayer. Prayers that can prepare the way for others to make a difference for God in the world. You can pray this way about anything: healing, lifting depression, salvation for the lost. Building a case before God is so much better than simply, Lord, would you please? But if you don't want to, it's all okay. If it be your will. Audacious prayer. Ask anything according to his will. Go to the scriptures and know God's will. Pray according to God's promises, praying God's will, and speak up in prayer with a bold new confidence, with audacity, like a juggernaut. As for the loading dock, if you go to your growth group later in the week, you'll see it all in his DVD. So there's something there as an example of that audacious prayer, praying like a juggernaut.